SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliff. He's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
The regular season, the NBA regular season, is over. I can't believe it.
Man,
we've come this far.
Crazy. Survived the COVID season. Well, you may have not, but
I don't know if I have. I might have contracted COVID, even though I am vaccinated. I don't know. I feel weird. Maybe it'll give me that extra juice for today.
It's just an experiment, so you can tell the listeners what it's like if you've gotten the vaccine and you go through
it. It's true. And then if Adrian hosts next week, you know what happened. Okay.
Because that would only happen if it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
If it's like really over.
But I like that even in the end of the world, we still have to get the podcast out.
Yeah, we still got to go. Somebody's got to do it.
I got to keep the legacy going. Talk about this thing I have no idea about. Maybe you guys will talk more about Summer House.
Or what is that? Sunset?
Exactly.
What are those shows called again?
I'm like going for the obscure ones that you would have no idea.
I forgot what they're called.
All right. Mike Breen calls Taco Fall Taco Bell on a broadcast.
At least he caught himself.
Kobe, Duncan, KG were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Congrats. All you guys, legends, man. Albert Pujols signs with the Dodgers after getting cut by the Angels. How fortuitous for him for not having to move houses. It's pretty good for him. But most importantly, the NBA is hitting the end of the regular season, so it's time for awards. We're going to do SBR awards, but we're also going to talk about today the end of the Eastern Conference. First of all, the first bit of the Eastern Conference play-in games. Wizards play the Celtics. And the Pacers play the Hornets. We're going to recap that right now in a game we like to call All Day or Cray Cray. Joe, first one, let's talk about the Wizards versus the Celtics. Tatum put up a 50-piece. He was getting a lot of calls going his way. He shot 17 free throws, but you know what? He forced the action, and he honestly played well within the scheme of the offense. But on the other end, Westbrook was just not there. And like you said, we got the bad Westbrook today where he was pulling Westbrook up for jumpers, bricking it, didn't even touch rim, just off the backboard.
Jeez.
Just to the side.
Those are the bad ones.
And Joe, your boy Bradley Beal, man, how heroic. He was fighting, noticeably hampered, stretching his hamstring as best as he could and just putting it all on the line.
Yeah.
But man, Scotty Brooks, that dude has no game plan. He's just like, yo, bros, go out there. Do your thing, man. I got your back. We'll be friends. We're friends. We'll get a beer after.
Yeah. Was not. It was the classic Lost versus Heroes. It was the classic one showrunner had a plan. The other showrunner had no plan. They're just kind of like, hey, let's just see what happens. Let's just throw them all out there and see what happens. They got powers. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Let's take the Celtics first. Joe, All Day or Cray Cray, Jason Tatum. The California burrito himself has finally emerged.
My boy, Jason Tatum, all day.
Your boy. Oh!
I am going all day. Look, we're not experts. We don't care if we're right or wrong. All we care about is that credit goes to where credit is due. Last year, Jason Tatum got outsized credit. Right. People were like propping him up, saying that he was amazing. Look what he had done. And we were just like, I don't know. That's why when we picked against the Celtics, saying the Heat were going to beat the Celtics because Jimmy Butler's clearly a better player than Jason Tatum. People thought that was crazy going into it. People still think it's crazy after it, even though they won. Even though the Heat beat the Celtics, people were still like, well, you know, Jason Tatum's really good. He's better. I mean, he didn't do it last year. This year, he's been way better. I mean,
he's been balling.
Yeah, he had a slow start to the season. Was not playing well probably like first half of the season. Second half, he's been balling out. He dropped that 60
Especially the last 25%.
Yeah, I mean, the last month or so. Yeah, he's been playing really well. And a little bit quietly, like we've said, for some reason, the media isn't ridiculously covering Jason Tatum anymore. I don't get it. Now that he is balling out, why aren't they covering him? It's almost flipped. They're covering LeBron's ankle. It's like ankle gate 24/7. They're checking on the ankle. Is it okay? Is he going to be okay? Like, nobody else's injuries matter, but they're constantly talking about LeBron's ankle. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He balled out today. 50 points. He was, I mean, definitely, Brad Stevens was about 10,000% more prepared than Scott Brooks was, because he was getting Jason Tatum the ball in the spots that he wanted. A lot of the times he was getting the ball on the move. Jason Tatum was rarely the person starting with the ball, like, mm-hmm. unless he had deep post position. But otherwise, he was getting the ball on the move. He was getting the ball pick and pop. And so it was hard to double team him coming into those situations. On the other hand, Scott Brooks, what the heck? Had little guards on him like most of the game. I don't know why. I guess he thought, you know.
He was playing Ish Smith on him.
Yeah, what? Brad Beal was on him too for like a lot of the game. And I was just like.
That dude has a hamstring injury.
Yeah, he's hurt. And instead of preserving him for offense, because he's your best offensive player, you're using him to guard Jason. Why? That makes no sense. Like, do you know anything, Scott Brooks? Like, you don't do that. Even when you have like Kobe, you don't do that. Right? You don't wear out your best player. Maybe in the fourth quarter, when if the game is close, if you can keep it close. But the rest of the game, you use somebody else. Use Rui Hachimura. You know, like, use your other guys. Use your athletic young guys to guard him, because that's what they're supposed to do. I know Hachimura had some foul trouble, so maybe that contributed to why he was anonymous as much. But it just, dude, I don't know. It didn't make sense.
Everybody knows, okay? You don't use your chef's knife to cut fruit. You just don't, okay?
No, you don't.
You use the paring knife. Sometimes you even use a steak knife, because you know what? You're like, an apple? I just get away with using a steak knife, and then I'll throw it in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Throw it in there.
But if you use your freaking chef's knife, what are you going to use? What are you going to use tomorrow when you got to chop vegetables? You're going to wait for the dishwasher to run? Oh, my God. You got to hand wash that thing.
Gosh.
It's just a waste. Just, what a waste of time.
But apparently Scott Brooks doesn't know. He doesn't cook. And that's why all his meals are just ingredients.
It's because he called up Brett Brown. He was like, hey, how do I coach a team? And then Brett Brown's like, oh, let me tell you. Whatever. Just do whatever.
He's the guy who gets the stuff from the store and then just kind of puts it on the plate. And it's just like, hey, it's cooked. Hey, eat this stuff. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
And your kid picks up the whole eggplant. You're like, how do I eat this?
I mean, it could be really good ingredients. It could be delicious ingredients. It could be some high quality eggplant. But you know, when you just throw it out on the plate right there, and you just like, you do one of these little.
The salt bay.
Salt bay. You just like throw your hands and just throw a little salt on it. You know, it's just, that's not cooking. That's not real cooking. Brad Stevens clearly had an actual plan that worked. And but look, props to Jason Tatum. He stepped up. Jaylen Brown's out. Evan Fournier is nowhere to be seen. You know, he is APB out on Evan Fournier. Kemba Walker stepped up. He played well. But Tatum, he's Shikamaru. Okay? Like, at this point, we got to just give him Shikamaru. This was his Temari battle. You know, Russell Westbrook came in a little too overconfident, just thought like, hey,
freaking blowing the wind.
I'm freaking Russell Westbrook. Have you seen this fan? You see these three dots, it's all over, all right? Like,
so stupid.
That's what Russell Westbrook thought. He thought, I got this. And you know, the fan itself is Bradley Beal. He's like, I got this fan.
He's waving Bradley Beal.
Little did he know.
This guy.
Little did he know there was a little hole in the fan.
It was a tear.
Yeah, a little tear in the fan. Wasn't quite as strong as he thought. And you know, Shikamaru, nothing fancy. He's got like one move. He's got the one shadow jutsu. The sidestep from everywhere. But, you know?
Wow, I'm liking this more and more as you do it.
He knows how to use it. Hey, if you know how to use it, you know how to use it. You know, I got to give him the props, all right?
That's true.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan is fancier than Jason Tatum, but Jason Tatum knows how to use that sidestep. So give him the props, man. He stepped up. He played well.
I'm with you. Tatum has emerged. Like, 60-piece a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now a 50-piece. And he's doing all this. Well, Jaylen Brown is out. You know, he's kind of, you know, we've mentioned on this podcast, like, when they had their whole Celtics team, the first person that was closing was Jaylen Brown. The second person that was closing after that was Gordon Hayward. The third person closing after that was Kemba Walker. And then it was Tatum. Yeah. Honestly, it was, you know? And so now that two of those guys are gone, like, and he's stepping into that role, and he, well, I mean, the Wizards are cake, but he like, but you know what? He did it with authority, and he did it on his back. Like, the Celtics played it off his back, and he showed that he's capable of taking that pressure on. And so, to me, it less of the skill set and more of just the mentality of just taking it on my back. I'm like, okay, I see where you're going with this.
You know what he said after the game? I really like this because this is exactly what I wish Andrew Wiggins thought. But they asked him, like, what motivated you? And he was like, oh, you know, I just really wanted to beat Brad. You know, it's like, I just really wanted to beat Bradley. And they said, okay, so how did you do that? Like, what was your mentality? And he said, I just wanted to be the best player on the court tonight.
I like that.
Yes. I think that's the right mentality. You know, and Jason Tatum, he's not like a super alpha guy. Like, you can tell. He defers when other guys are on the court. And he doesn't have, like, confidence spectrum, I'd probably put him like a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little underconfident.
But in the window.
Yeah, in the window, though, for sure. But he kind of has to be thrown into it. Like, he has to do it. And when he has to do it, then he steps up and he does it. But I wish Wiggins had that thought sometimes, but I feel like he never does.
Never.
I feel like when Wiggins steps on the court, he's like, I just need to be like the fourth best guy tonight. You know, like that's what he's aiming for. Like, that's what he's trying to do.
Let's talk about the Wizards. They were a freaking hot mess. So, Joe, all day or cray cray, Russell Westbrook lost the game for the Wizards.
Cray cray.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't blame Westbrook. Look, he didn't shoot well. He was 6-for-18.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him not a pass, but I'll give him a little extra credit on the fact that he was 8-for-8 from the free throw line. Because that's great. You know, Westbrook hasn't always been a good free throw shooter, although, you know, now he's somehow back. But, I mean, look, he was 20-14-5, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He was contributing. He was doing as much as he could. Yes, the bricks were really bad, but I don't put it all on him because Brad Beal was not 100%. Clearly, you know, you need Brad Beal to be 100% to have a chance in this kind of game. And you need some kind of game plan. If I'm going to blame somebody, it's going to be Scott Brooks. Dude did not come in with any game plan. You're playing the Celtics. I mean, the one thing you should be thinking is, let's limit Jason Tatum. That's really
would be
what
logical.
Yeah, that's really what you should be thinking. Evan Fournier hasn't been doing anything. Kemba Walker, as good as Kemba Walker can be, he hasn't historically been the kind of guy that when he goes off, the team necessarily wins.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe you let Kemba go for like 35. You limit Jason Tatum, double him, and try to fluster him. He's not a crazy playmaker either. So that should have been the game plan. And yet the game plan was – what was the game plan, Cliff? Because Jason Tatum
game plan
had 50.
Was...
Kemba had 29-7-2. I don't get it. That's literally the two only guys that the Boston Celtics have on offense. And that's all they needed. They just had that and they won this game. So I blame Scott Brooks.
Yeah, their game plan was to take advantage of the other things. Like when Davis Bertans barely got hit in the neck and he was down for like like an awkward amount of time.
Gosh.
And they didn't call timeout. I was like,
gosh.
How is the right move here? One, on Davis's part, just to like be down on the court. Secondarily, how is the right move to go 4-on-5 and think that's a good offensive play.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, the Wizards game too, it's supposed to be like pace.
Yeah.
I think they're, I mean, what are they? They're top, they're first in the league in pace. They were first because
they have
in
Westbrook.
The league and in this game, somehow, I mean, they only got up 92 shots. The Celtics had more shot attempts than them. 14 fast break points. It's not enough. Like, that's not enough to beat the Celtics. So I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to do. It didn't seem like Westbrook was actually pushing the pace that much today.
No. He seemed out of it.
Yeah. I don't know. He wasn't playing like Westbrook.
He didn't have that same intensity he normally does.
It was kind of a X-Men The Last Stand. You know, you wanted either X2 or you wanted Logan, right? You either wanted like where he goes beast mode in X2 or Logan where, you know, he's kind of the older guy, wiser guy. But he was just the Last Stand X-Men, or it was like, what is this? I don't really know what's going on here.
It's like that in-between?
Yeah, I was like, what's the plan here? And there was no plan.
Well,
Brett Ratner'd it. Scott Brooks, Brett Ratner'd the game tonight.
Maybe he is Brett Ratner. Well, he's going to get another chance because he's going to play the Pacers. And the Pacers played the Hornets. And Karras was in COVID protocol. And all the signs were pointing towards the Hornets having the upper hand here. LaMelo is back. But, man, they got rocked. So bad.
Destroyed.
144-117. Throughout any point of the game, if you just like picked a point, they were either down 20 or 30. It was bad. Yeah. And I was like, you know, the Pacers are pretty well coached, right? But then I was like, you know, because they play pretty good team basketball, but it also helps when your center is Domantas Sabonis. But I was like, isn't this the same coach that had reports come out that he's being really aggressive and abrasive? And the moment TJ Warren found out that he was going to be the coach, he requested a trade. I was like, how is this team look so good? And I was like, oh, it's because the Hornets are so bad. I don't know. Joe, old Dan Cray Cray, did the Pacers show you enough to think they will actually make the 8th seed and beat the Wizards?
All day.
Mm.
Yeah. Got to go all day on this one. I mean, will they beat the Wizards? I don't know. It depends on Westbrook. If Westbrook realizes he's Wolverine and he realizes that these are putties, then he'll be fine. You know, he'll suddenly come to the realization that he can just have a classic Westbrook game and win. Now, I thought the Wizards would actually be in the bottom half of the bracket and the Hornets would be on top, right? Because of the way that the records. So
right.
I thought that this would be the first matchup actually for the Wizards and they would win it. So I think the Wizards can win it. However, I mean, look, the Pacers were on fire. They shot 16 of 35 from three. That's 46% basically, which is pretty ridiculous. I don't think, you know, typically they're not that great of a three-point shooting team either. They were up by as much as 39 in this game. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, this game...
It was bad from the get-go.
Yeah.
It was never close.
But, I mean, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, Bismack Biyombo, LaMelo Ball, and Terry Rozier. That was the starting five for the Hornets. That's not... Like, just the names. Like, if you don't know a ton, like, if you're not deep into the stats.
If you're a casual fan.
Yeah, and you don't know that Miles Bridges has been, like, on fire the past month.
Right.
Although, he's also coming off COVID protocol. LaMelo's a rookie. And then Terry Rozier, you know, he had a good season. But, I mean, for a playoff team, that doesn't sound right. You know, that just doesn't sound like it's right. No All-Stars, you know. And then Hayward was out. Since Hayward went out in early April, the Hornets, I think they were like 4 or 5 games above 500. Oh, no, they were like 2 games above 500, sorry. I think they were 25 and 23 at that point. And since then, they went 8-16 since Hayward went out.
Oof.
So they've been pretty bad. you know, in retrospect, it should have been. I mean, I thought Hayward was going to play by this time. I thought he'd be back. The fact that he wasn't, I mean, there was little chance. I think there was just little chance that they would be able to compete at this level given their lack of experience. They have, like, no playoff experience except for Terry Rozier. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. But I think this is going to give the Pacers confidence going into the next matchup. Will they win? I don't know. But this definitely convinced me that they can win.
Mm. I'm going to go cray-cray here. Mm. Like, okay. Well, first of all, let me give the Pacers props. I watched that game, and I was like, these guys play well. They play well together, and I love TJ McConnell. That guy, he balls. Like, he doesn't have all the style. His shooting form isn't great, but he gets you W's. He stays in front of his guy. He hustles on defense. He pushes the ball up tempo. He gets guys in position. Like, it's not pretty, but he gets the job done. I like that guy. But the rest of the ragtag group of bench warmers outside of TJ McConnell, it's not great. You know, you got DeMontis, you got Malcolm Brogdon. Those guys are solid, good players. But outside of those three guys, I don't know. They just had a good day. You know, they had a really good day.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had a good day. Freaking Brissett, man.
Yeah.
What the heck? O'Shea Brissett, 23 on 10 of 14 shooting, three threes. I mean,
look.
Pretty crazy.
Here's the thing. When they play the Wizards... Richter's going to give Logan the serum, okay? Richter's going to give Logan the serum and take it a little at a time. But we all know Russell Westbrook. He freaking takes it all. Just sticks it all, jams it all in, and he's going to go full Russell Westbrook against the Pacers. I'm talking like 30 shots. Russell Westbrook, he's going to go wild. He's going to get a crazy amount of stats. Maybe 18 rebounds, 17 assists, 33 points. Oh, it's going to be awesome. 10 turnovers. He's going to get that quadruple double.
I mean, I have no doubts that Westbrook is going to go nuts, especially coming off the disappointment of the game he just played. But will it result in a win? That's the question. You know, if it is a close game, as much as I love Westbrook, a lot of the times where he does those crazy things, it does not result in a win. Right, it results in a close game where Westbrook does something ill-advised towards the end of the game, turns it over, you know, rushes down, shoots a three, and I don't know. You know, I think he wanted to defer to Bradley Beal. Of course, now is not the time because Bradley Beal's not 100%. He's hurt.
It's true. It's true.
So
he's got to be full Logan.
He does. He does.
Professor X is hobbled, okay? He's not himself.
He's still powerful, but he's hobbled. And so we'll see. I think it'll be a closer game. I'll say that much. I think it'll be entertaining. We'll see how it goes.
All right, Joe. All Derrick Crickery, are the Hornets trash?
Yes.
Or should they be encouraged by the season? Okay.
All day. They're trash. No, I mean, they should definitely be encouraged by how they played this season. They exceeded expectations by pretty much any metric. I don't think anybody expected the Hornets to even be sniffing the playoffs. Okay.
Right.
However, I mean, look, it's a good experience for them. If they had Hayward, I think they would have won.
Mm.
Like, I think they would have won just outright. I think with Hayward, they were a better team. They were playing really well. He gives them the cohesion, the calm that they need. You see, they're just crazy. Like, they're just like frantic the way that they play. And I like it because it's up tempo. They get it after it on defense. They press.
They
full
get
court.
After it on
like,
defense.
Who does that, right? In the NBA, nobody does that. But they do it like every game. They're in full court press for some parts of every game, and it creates havoc. They get a lot of turnovers. They get shots in transition. That enables LaMelo to do LaMelo things. It enables Terry Rozier to do Terry Rozier things. But you need somebody who's like, hey, guys, let's calm down. Right? Yeah. Like, it's a little
team
too
leader.
Crazy. Yeah, there's too many turnovers right now. You can't try to dunk it every time. You can't shoot a three every time. Like LaMelo and Rozier were just launching up threes when they were down 20 in the third. And it's like, that's not the way to get back in the game, right? Yeah. Like, you got to play good D, get a good shot every single time, and then you'll inch back into the game. But then they would go down by 30 because they'd make 1-3, and then they'd miss two in a row and have two turnovers. So if Hayward were there, I really do think they would have won. He gives them that set half-court offense and calm and leadership and all of that. And so, look, they should be encouraged. They're going to be good next year. I think LaMelo is going to get better. Rozier is going to get better. Hopefully Hayward will be healthy. So they can be encouraged. But, yeah, I mean, for this game, they were trash. This was that year when – what was it? Oh, New Orleans. Remember when Denver was playing New Orleans in the playoffs that year?
Mm-hmm.
09, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Melo year, right? Where the Lakers played Denver.
Uh-huh.
And they got destroyed. Like, they got destroyed by like 30 some points. And I was like, it's over. This series is over. After game one, I was like, series is over. You don't lose like that and like come back. You don't care. If you lose like that in this kind of game, you don't belong. And they just didn't belong.
Yeah, this felt like a best of seven Street Fighter game, and they like won a round, but then in the final round they got perfected. It was like, oh. But you know, they have some things cooking. That's why I think it's cray cray. Okay, they're not trash. Like, Rozier's solid. He was clutch for them this season.
Yeah.
And for whatever we say about LaMelo in the coming parts of this podcast, he's a good player.
He's good. I like LaMelo.
He's a good player.
I just don't think he's, you know.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward, he's also proven he's a good player, right? Boston was just a terrible fit for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and PJ Washington's a solid player too. He's a starter in the NBA, you know?
Miles Bridges,
And Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges. That guy, he looks great.
He's
like, I get more and more impressed with him every time he plays.
Me too. 23-8-4 today, by the way. 10 of 16 shooting, 2 threes. Like, that's pretty good.
And he plays defense because he gets up.
He plays D and he dunks. He really could be kind of a Vince-ish player, I think.
He's our favorite type of player. He is. Oh. He's right in our wheelhouse.
I like him.
He's right in our wheelhouse. All right. That was the play-in tournament. Lakers play the Warriors. And Memphis plays the Spurs. We'll see what happens there. But let's go to the end of the season awards. But, you know, there's like defensive player of the year, rookie of the year. Who cares? Who cares about that? We're going to talk about the SBR awards, okay?
The People's Awards.
The first one, though, which is the same as the regular NBA awards. Well, let's talk about MVP. Here's some of the nominees. We got Nikola Jokic. Mr. 26-11-8-1-1, 47% from the field, 39% from three. Played 72 of 72 games, 47-25 record. Third in the West, fifth in the league. Great, great player. You got Joel Embiid, 29-11-3-1-1, 51%, 38%. Played 51 of the 72 games, 49-23 record. First in the East, third in the league. And then... I think should be an MVP candidate, Devin Booker, 26-4-4-1, 48% from the field, 34% from three, played 67 of 72 games, 51-21 record, second in the West, second in the league. Joe, all day or cray cray, the SBR MVP award should go to Nikola Jokic.
I have to go all day on this one. Jokic, look, he deserves it, man. He played all 72 games. He's been balling out. He has historic numbers, but it's not just about the numbers, right? He has been producing wins. He lost Jamal Murray. I mean, Denver started slow, and then Jamal started picking it up. He was playing better. MPJ started picking up. He was playing better. But he lost Jamal Murray. Actually, MPJ was out for a while also. And let me... You know, again, it's not all about stats, but sometimes stats matter.
Help paint the story.
Yeah, stats do tell the story in some cases, and usually it's this is the only time I like advanced stats. Well, I'll say it in a second. Okay, let me tell you just so people understand, because you know, win shares and like VORP, value over replacement player, we don't really understand a lot of these stats. So let me just give you some context. Okay, here's the top five players in win shares.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the players' names. Jimmy Butler, Giannis, Dame, Rudy Gobert, and Jokic. Okay, so this is win shares, all right?
Yep.
Now let me give you the numbers for those guys. From 5 to 1. 9.3, 10.2, 10.4, 11.3, that's the second. And then number one, Jokic, 15.6.
Wow.
Like that jump, that's a massive jump. Like if you go top 10, it's like 8.8, 8.8, 8.8, 9, 9.2, 9.3, 10.2, 10.4, 11.3.
He's worth double, basically.
15.6. And then VORP, you go value over replacement player, 4.8, 5, 5.5, 5.5, and then number one, Jokic, 8.6. It's crazy. Like his numbers, that he's carrying for real. I mean, he really is carrying. Okay, so whatever success Denver is having, it is due to Jokic, his play. And he's even been pretty clutch this year. Like, he's had some clutch buckets. He's had some clutch moments.
Yeah.
There have been times where you've also seen his limitations. You have seen that, hey, it's hard for a big to really do the
be
whole
a go-to
clutch thing.
Score.
Yeah, it's hard. But, like, you got to just – it's hard. But, I mean, just give him the credit because compared to – like, for the time that he spent on the court and everything that he's done, you got to just – you got to give it to him.
He is the engine that makes that team go. Like, I mean, you look at Indiana and you look at Denver. Not to say that they're the exact same team, but they got a lot of similar pieces.
They do. They do.
You got Caris LeVert. You got MPJ. You got Malcolm Brogdon. You got Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray.
You got Kagebunshins in shooting guards. You got Kagebunshins in
Holidays,
forwards.
The Holidays.
Right?
The Harrises. Even though he's gone now. But, you know, all those guys, they're all the same guy.
Yeah, like it's the same, right? But one dude is balling out of control to get his team third in the West, fifth in the league, and another guy is four games under 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's both crazy. Are playing similar-ish style games, right? Like they are pass-first big men.
Yes.
But Jokic just does so much more with what he has. So much more.
It's just crazy. I mean, he's number one in PER also. He's number one in win shares per 48. I mean, just everything. Box plus minus. Same thing. 7.2, 7.5, 7.5, 8.1, 8.8. And then Jokic, 11.7.
Jeez.
It's like every... I mean, this is the only time where I'm like, okay, yeah, these stats all do tell a story because they're all pointing to the same thing, that he just has this outsized effect on the game.
I think he's also first in PER.
I just said that, but yeah, he's first in PER too. 30.
Well, actually, no, he's second. Udonis Haslem is first.
Oh my gosh!
With the one game
he doesn't appear on the
list
I'm looking at.
In 3 minutes,
probably because that's probably why he doesn't appear.
Play 3 minutes, 54.6 PER.
I think my list has some limiters.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I think what's amazing about Nikola Jokic is dude was a 41st pick in the NBA.
Crazy.
41st pick.
Only
and
the...
He might... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you go. You go.
And if he wins MVP, it'll be the second time in history a second-round draft pick wins MVP.
Yep. Willis Reed.
51 years ago. 51 years since that 51 happened.
51 years. Crazy.
Talk about maximizing your potential. Nikola Jokic is maximizing his potential.
Nuts.
But it's clear the system is broken. The media system is broken. Well, let me read you some lists, okay? NBA.com. They rank it. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis. That's solid, right? First
fine.
Top three.
It's fine.
Then they have Luka, Steph, Dame, CP3, Gobert, Randall, and then Devin Booker. ESPN.
I'm just happy
has
Booker
list.
Made that list.
That's true. ESPN has a list. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Dame, Harden, LeBron, CP3, Kawhi, Luka, Gobert.
How?
Hoops How? Hype has Jokic, Steph, number two, wow. Embiid, Giannis, Dame, Luka, Kawhi, Gobert, CP3, Julius Randle. CBS, NBC, Yahoo only had top five. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Steph, CP3 for CBS. NBC had Jokic, Steph, Dame, Embiid, Giannis. And then Yahoo had Jokic, Embiid, CP3 third, Dame, Gosh. Steph.
That's just dumb. Come on. Come on, man. You're not serious. You're not serious. 16-9. 16-9. Really?
So
16-9-5, you're going to put CP3 on the list?
With that vein, let's move on to SBR's Cuban Award. The player that gets the most credit for team success.
When they're only seasoning.
When they are undue. Undue. It's unjust.
Credit. Unjust credit.
Let's go. First one, the aforementioned Chris Paul. The Phoenix Suns are second in the league. So you think, of course, he just got traded there. But he is 16-5-9-1. You got Mike Conley. The Jazz are first in the league. 16-4-6-1.
Gosh.
That's fine. And James Harden. Nets are fourth in the league. He put up great stats, but he's only played 36 games for Brooklyn. Joe, all day or cray cray, the Cuban Award for the 2021 season goes to Chris Paul.
All freaking day, man. All day and then some. What the heck, man? What is going on? Why does everybody... Guys, the Cuban fallacy, okay?
Yeah, explain it to him again.
The Cuban fallacy is you have some ribs, okay? And then they're like good, you know? They're like pretty good or they're okay maybe. And then you add some cumin to the ribs. And then you eat it again and you're like, wow, these ribs are really good. Did the cumin have something to do with it? Sure, of course it did.
Of course it did.
Seasoning adds flavor. However, the ribs themselves, the meat, mean more to the overall taste than the cumin. And this is the point. If you take away the rib and you just keep the cumin, you don't have much. Okay? You just have cumin, okay? But for some, these guys, look, if you add something to nothing, obviously it's more than what you had, right? You throw on James Harden to whatever the Nets had. You throw on Mike Conley to whatever the Jazz had, even though he was already there, but he sucked last year. So they got better by him getting better. I mean, that's part of it why they got better. And Chris Paul, you add him to Phoenix. They didn't really lose anything. They added Chris Paul. Look, adding 16-9, that's great. It's going to make you better. But it doesn't mean that he is the reason, like the overall reason for the team's success. Devin Booker does more game in and game out for that team. He's 26-4-4. He's the one that they go to down the stretch, game in, game out. I'm not saying Chris Paul doesn't do that stuff. You know, he does do stuff every game. But really, Devin Booker does more, and he's more the reason that they're able to succeed. I'm not saying Chris Paul doesn't contribute and all that stuff. There's no way he deserves more MVP consideration than Devin Booker. It's ridiculous. Either don't give either of them consideration. Okay, just be like, all right, I don't know. They're just all parts. Somehow everyone's contributing. Give it all to the coach. I don't care. But you can't say Chris Paul deserves more credit than Devin Booker. And you certainly he's on every single list.
He's on every list. Every list.
He's on every list. And Donovan Mitchell's not on a single list. He's not on any of these lists. Oh gosh, guys, it's just great. And it drives me crazy. By the way, Gobert, he gets all this credit. The Jazz aren't even the first in defense in the league. Like, they don't even have the best defensive rating. They're not even second in defense. The Lakers are first. Philly is second. They're fourth in defensive rating and third in offensive rating.
And Gobert is 14 points per game. MVP? MVP?
You just...
Okay, the Cuban We talked about the ribs, okay? We talked about it. We talked about the cumin. Don't understand, okay? If you like the ribs, if you like the taste of these ribs so much, okay? Just put the ribs on the MVP list. You don't just say, like, you know what? I'm going to put the cumin on the MVP list. That's great. No, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. People are just enamored with the toppings. Chris Paul, Mike Conley, All-Star, James Harden. What? It doesn't make any sense. And this whole Chris Paul thing. Look, I don't want to discount what he did last year. I thought the OKC Thunder would be the 15th team in the league.
Same.
But that's also because I thought Chris Paul would get traded. He didn't get traded, and he did what he did. He gets teams into the playoffs, and man, that's great. But lest we forget that the Suns went 8-0 in the bubble against very good teams. Not nobody's. I'm talking the Clippers. You remember the shot? Devin Booker hit a game winner over Kawhi and Paul George.
Yep.
I'm talking the Blazers. He played the Blazers, who were also trying to get into the tournament. He played good teams. Played Memphis.
Yep.
A team also trying to get into the playoffs. These aren't nobodies. These aren't nobodies. I think they played the Lakers, too. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't remember, yeah, off the top of my head. But
they played possible. Good teams, okay? They played really good teams, and they did well. Devin Booker, just like any good normal player does during the quote-unquote offseason, which they had a long hiatus, advanced his skills, unlocked more. And he did what he did. I can't believe I am defending Devin Booker after all the trash I have talked about this guy for so long. But you can't deny the results. This guy closes games. He closes games for them. He gets them wins. And I'm not saying Chris Paul doesn't do any of those things. He also does those things.
Right.
But exactly. The main star, the main point of the meal is not the cumin. It's the rib.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, and this isn't like a Shaq Kobe situation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, you have two best players. You know, I think you have, it's more like a Kobe Powell situation.
Yes.
It would be like saying, hey, in 08, yeah, I think Pau Gasol should be MVP. Because
people did say that, though. People did say that, though.
And that's nuts. Right? It's like, and that's stupid. That is the cumin fallacy. Look, I mean, but I can say it right now, and most reasonable people will be like, no, that's bad. Like, in the moment, maybe you tasted that rib, and you were like, oh, man, this cumin is what makes this work. Like, just give me this cumin on anything, and it will just make anything work.
You gave Powell the 30 shots a game, he would shoot 65%, oh, like gosh, he does.
These people, they don't know. Don't get it twisted. It's just...
So... From the player that gets so much undue credit for team success, let's talk about the most dangerous unseen player, the SBR Snow Leopard Award, named after Kawhi Leonard.
The OG Snow Leopard.
The OG Snow Leopard. Who could have been on this list?
Could have been on this list. But he is the list, so. It's okay.
Yeah.
He embodies the list.
I got Mr. Kyrie Irving, who just put up a 50-40-90 season. Mm-hmm. Only 9 players to ever do so. And only 3 players to ever do it with 25 points per game or better. Steph, Larry Legend,
oof,
Kevin Durant, and now Kyrie Irving.
Wow. Wow. Think about that list, guys. Steph Curry, Larry Bird, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving.
When you talk about lists of greatest shooters of all time, those 3 guys are on that list. And now you have Kyrie Irving on that list.
Man,
you just shared with me a list that had LeBron James on that list.
Oh my gosh, dude. Can we talk about this real quick? Guys, freaking sent Cliff this. I gotta find it. Where is it?
That doesn't make any freaking sense.
And people were defending it. It went up on Twitter and like you know, some people were obviously roasting it. They're like, come on, dude, this is not real, this list.
And the reason he's on it is because of volume. He's like, I don't know, 11th in all-time threes made or something like that.
Guys, there's a Kirk Goldsberry's list. Go roast Kirk Goldsberry, please. But he put out a list, top 10 shooters of the decade. Top 10 shooters. Shooters specifically. Number one, Steph Curry. Number two, Kevin Durant. Number three, LeBron James. LeBron James, number three behind Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Top shooters of the decade. Underneath LeBron James. Beneath LeBron James as a shooter, Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson!
Klay Thompson, James Harden, Dirk Nowitzki, Chris Paul, Dame, JJ Redick, Kyle Korver. I mean, guys.
Every single name belongs on that list, except one.
Are you serious? LeBron except James one. Is on this top 10 shooters of the decade. You're kind of you know, this thing right here, you're kind of convincing me because I had someone else I was going to say, but Kyrie, how is Kyrie 50, 40, 90 and he didn't even come up on this list? How's he freaking 50, 40, 90? You just named three of the greatest shooters of all time. Steph, all time. Larry Legend, and KD, and nobody mentions Kyrie on this freaking top 10 shooters of the decade list who had the biggest shot in NBA Finals history in Game 7 of the NBA Finals? I'm getting upset right now. Kyrie is, I don't know. I feel like he should be the Snow Leopard right now because he's getting zero respect right now. He's getting zero respect. Does Kyrie say stupid stuff? Yes. Yes, okay? He does say stupid stuff. He does say weird stuff. He does do weird stuff. But look, if you're the media, okay, your job is to cover basketball. If you don't like it when Kyrie doesn't talk about basketball, then you should talk about basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to keep it on topic and you want to be like, oh, Kyrie, like, why don't you just do basketball? Then when you talk about Kyrie, why don't you just talk about basketball? Why don't you just talk about how freaking amazing Kyrie Irving is? Because when he scores, I don't think there's anybody who is as effortless as Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Even KD. Kyrie, when he's just flowing on offense, I mean, it's just so easy. I don't see anybody else in the NBA literally who it's as easy for as Kyrie. Because dang, even right now, it looks like he's literally doing like 50% effort.
Like he's so smooth.
He's going 50, 40, 90. He's averaging like 27. What's he averaging? Like 27, 6, and 5 or something like that? And like, it looks like he's like not even trying, dude. Like it looks like he's just gliding around on the court. I'm convinced that there's only one player who can stop Kyrie.
It's Kyrie.
It's Kyrie Irving. The only person that can stop Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. Okay. Unfortunately, he's really stopping himself a lot. But I don't know, man. I mean,
is there a character like that? It must be an anime character, right?
Maybe. I mean, I know we go to the Vegeta well a lot, but I feel like, because you know how they always say Vegeta is like he's the best and he's the strongest and stuff. But isn't it really like what actually stops Vegeta? Because technically he should be like the best. Like he's insecure.
Hmm.
He's so obsessed with that notion, like oh, why is Goku stronger than, you know, like he's so into that.
Or is he Gohan? He's like, he could be the strongest, right? He beat Cell. Like,
maybe
beating Cell is like after the shot, right? And then he was like, I want to go to school.
I want to learn more about the
I want
world.
To be Saiyan Man.
Saiyan Man? Why is that arc there? Why does he do that?
And everyone's like, why? Just train. You could be the greatest fighter ever. He's like, but there's more to me than just fighting.
I mean, truly, though, I feel like Kyrie is like Sasuke.
Mm.
I mean, he's amazing, but he just doesn't care. Like, he's not trying to, like, what is his mission exactly? Like, what is his goal in the world? I don't know.
I don't know. He's just around.
He's just around. That's what, like, he's amazing. When he actually gets in the battles, you're like, dang. He has all the abilities. Literally, he's got all the abilities. He can do everything.
He can do everything.
But you're just, like, the motivation. What is the motivation? It gets really blurred.
Just, what? Before we jump off the 10 shooters of the decade, because I was so appalled. Just so appalled. LeBron James, how many times do you think he shot above 40% from three?
I mean, I want to say zero, but I'll give him one. I'll give him one.
You are correct. One time he shot above 40% from three. How many times do you think Kyrie Irving in his 10 seasons has done it?
I mean, at least a few.
Five times.
Oh, my God.
Five of the 10 seasons he has shot over 40% from three.
Five times?
Let me ask you, how many times has Klay Thompson shot above 40% from three in his 8 seasons?
7 times.
8 times.
Oh, gosh. Even his rookie season,
dang, he shot 41% from three.
Dude, this
and this guy is below LeBron James?
This guy scored 37 points in a quarter. In a freaking quarter, okay? In 12 minutes. And, like, all shots. They were, like, all jumpers. I think maybe he had one layup. And you're telling me that this guy is beneath LeBron James? Gosh. Oh, it's ludicrous.
Don't get me wrong. LeBron James is the best player of this decade.
Yeah. Hands down.
He is. He's the best player of the decade.
Like, if you I mean, who's done it as long? Like, the longevity, the consistency. There's nobody else.
He's the best player of this decade. Of the 2010s, he owns it. But shooter? Best shooter?
I mean, this is the thing, okay? It's like,
I might even have a problem with it if he was 10th. I might even have a problem with it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I would have a problem with it. I'm positive if we really thought about it, because we're not. Well, Kyrie should be on the list, so that automatically knocks
him around. That's true.
Because I got no problem with any of these other guys.
No.
But even given that's the thing, though, right? It's like he was like, well, you know, if I throw him in at 10, people are gonna be like, oh, you're just like throwing him on there because you want LeBron to be on this list. So I'm gonna put him at 3. So people aren't like, oh, you're just throwing LeBron in there. It's like, no, legitimately, he is. He's one of the greatest. I mean, come on, man.
Okay, this went off the rails. So you have the other guys are Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell. We've talked about them a lot. But obviously, to me, the snow leopard is Kyrie Irving. And which is crazy because he's growling a lot. He's just like rumbling and growling. But you still can't see him. Still no one is paying attention to him.
Let me just throw in one other guy, okay?
Okay, one other guy.
Mystery player.
Mystery player?
22-7-7-2, 50% from the field.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Gets no love.
Some good stats.
Who is it, Cliff?
22-7-7, 50%. Jaylen Brown.
These are better. This is better than Jaylen. Jaylen Brown, I think he averaged more points. Jaylen Brown's like 24, but not 7-7.
He's I know.
Close to 7-7.
I know.
Who is it?
Jimmy Buckets.
Yes. Jimmy freaking Butler. 22-7-7, 2.1 steals, 50% from the field, 86 from the free throw line. Fifth in win shares, dude. This guy gets freaking no love from the media. Okay, nobody freaking talks about. I mean, not only the media, the fans, social media. Like, nobody gives Jimmy Butler his freaking due, man. Fifth in win shares. He's up there on box plus minus two, fourth in box plus minus. It's him, then Steph, then Giannis, then Jokic. I mean, come on, man. Like,
we've seen it. The Miami Heat are a hot mess without him on the court.
They're terrible without him. They have, and look, 22-7-7, 2.1 steals, 50% shooting. Those are actually good numbers. Mm-hmm. But what Jimmy Butler provides beyond those numbers is, like, immeasurable. Like, mm-hmm. the leadership, the on-court presence, the confidence that all of a sudden Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, these guys play way better when he's with them. Like, when he's out there playing, they have a lot more confidence. And Jimmy Butler knows how to close games. He knows how to get to the free throw line. He knows how to get his shots. He even makes threes once in a while. He's shooting horrendously from three. But he even makes threes once in a while when he has to. When he has to, okay? And did you see what they did to... Who did they play? It was Philly. Did you see what they did to Philly?
They destroyed them.
They destroyed them. They just annihilated them. That was like 2 weeks ago. It was like a week and a half ago or something. And they were just like, you know what? We're going to see Philly in the playoffs. Let's send them a message. It looked like last year Philly. Mm. Yeah, Miami made them look like last year Philly. And you know, Spo and Jimmy Butler were like, hey, we're going to send them a message. If we see them in the playoffs, if we see them in the Eastern Conference Finals, like, we're gonna destroy them. And they definitely, like, message sent, message received. So it's going to be interesting. I think, if anything, for Philly, that's going to be the test, Miami.
I think Jimmy Butler, like, there are other types of leaders, right? There's, like, Steph. There's a Steph leader. Mm. There's the passive-aggressive LeBron leader, you know.
So there's the feel-good leader, the optimistic guy. That's Steph.
Yeah, that's Steph. He's like... It's like, let's all be friends. Good times are rolling. That's that kind of leader.
Then the most important thing is to have fun out there. That's the stuff.
Yeah, right? Then you get, you know, passive-aggressive LeBron. Yeah. Where you're like, I can't do everything,
ankles,
okay?
Ankle's never going to be the same ever again.
I can't do everything here. What do you expect? And then you have Giannis, who is also in the school of Steph. Feel good, have fun, do those good things. Jimmy Butler is the dude that just makes it happen, okay? Mm. He's like, he's brash and arrogant to other people, but when you look at him, you're like, this guy is with me. We're together. We're going to make this happen, right? You know, in Independence Day, there's leaders like Bill Pullman, right? He's the president giving the speech. Today's our Independence Day. People are like, rah, rah. That's not Jimmy Butler. You know who he is? He's freaking Will Smith. All right. He's Captain Stephen Hiller. He's going on the alien ship. All right. He's just saying the fat lady is singing.
Do I know how to drive an alien ship? It doesn't matter. I'm going to figure it out.
I'm going to figure it out. We're going to go. We're going to nuke the mothership. What? How is that the plan?
You know why? Because I'm Jimmy freaking Butler. That's why. That's why the plan makes sense.
Like, legit the goal. On Will Smith's character to do this. Like, when you think about it, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Jimmy's the most Batman I've seen since Kobe. Mm. There's very few players who can pull that off, right? Who are just like, hey, I don't care. And
especially in the media. Jimmy reminds me of Kobe in the media.
Because, I mean, he's not as good as Kobe, right? But, man, the confidence... The like, not I'm gonna talk trash after I make the shot. I'm gonna talk trash all game because I know I'm gonna make the shot when it's time, and I know I'm gonna be in your head all game. Like, that's Jimmy Butler.
Like when he played Minnesota recently.
When he played Minnesota,
and he'd sell Cat. He's like, you soft. He's soft as hell.
Dude, awesome. Jimmy's awesome, dude. Jimmy is real. Like, you don't mess with Jimmy. And
it's true. He's authentically himself.
And that's why he's not playing, you know? Like, he's not trying to be tough. He's not trying to be hard, you know? That's just who he is. That's just who he is. And so I love Kyrie, but I'm gonna give my Snow Leopard to Jimmy. I got to give it to Jimmy.
Wow, that's a good one. I'm giving it to Kyrie. Let's move on to the Mr. Satan Award, or you could call it the Hercule Award, depending on Hercule. Which dub version or sub version
you watch.
If your
subs are dubs. Depends if your subs are dubs. Cliff and I tend to be more subs.
The person that gets way more credit for a win because of their reputation. First up, we got Blake Griffin, who ranks 211th in win share. He's 10-5-2, 259th in PER. His contemporaries are Nemanja Bjelica, Chris Chioza, and the recently returned Anderson Varejao. Then you got another nominee, Mikhail Bridges, who somehow ranks 14th in the league in win shares, which makes me think this stat is ridiculously dumb. He's 14-4-2.
Stat like that, that's when I don't like it. When it's just the one.
He's 14-4-2, 132nd in PER. And number three, LeBron's clutch boy, Talen Horton-Tucker, ranks 206th in win share, 9-3-3-1, and he ranks 258th in PER, which is one spot above Blake Griffin. Wow. Joe, who should win the SBR award? All day or cray cray, the Mr. Satan award goes to Blake Griffin.
It's like, I want to give it to THT so bad. Because, like, you know, in our circles, it's like people be talking about THT like he is
the way next better Jason than Kuzma. Tatum.
But, you know, but I got to give it to Blake. I got to give it to Blake freaking Griffin, because I am so sick of the media freaking gaslighting us that Blake Griffin is amazing and that the Nets are just this ridiculous super team. They keep trying to convince me that Blake Griffin is Chris Bosh. He's 10-5-2, man. This guy sucks. He can't even dunk anymore. He can't dunk. I've seen, they had a clip on YouTube where it said, what did it say, Cliff? Like, I don't even remember what the caption was, but it was like...
It was like, Nets players lose their minds.
Lose their minds. Are you kidding me? These freaking clickbait titles, man. Nets players lose their minds. And the photo, like the cover, is not even of Blake dunking. It's of Jeff Green's face. Because
shocked. Yeah, Uncle Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Jeff shocked. It's like... And then you see the dunk. It's literally... Oh, my gosh. It's like...
It's nothing.
I seen better dunks at the park. like literally running pickup.
He barely made it above the rim.
Barely. He like barely made it.
It was close. It was close.
Why? Guys, ask yourselves. Ask yourselves this, okay? I'm NBA conspiracy guy. Why does ESPN and all the NBA want to convince you that Blake Griffin's still good? When he is... Not even replacement player level at this. He's not even average. He's worse than average. I gotta believe that there are, you know, 200 players that are better than Blake Griffin right now. Why? Why did they do that? I mean, this guy is for sure Mr. Satan. This guy thinks he's amazing. Like, based on reputation, he is some kind of all-star. Like, that's what people think he is. He's 10-5-2.
Yeah. People are congratulating him for beating Sill.
Like, I don't know if he deserves a ring if the Nets win the championship. He should have a ring with an asterisk on it. It's like Blake Griffin, you know, the second part of his career. Not dunk champ Blake Griffin. You know, there's like a little footnote.
The two clips you sent me about Blake Griffin that I can't believe that Bleacher Report... I guess nothing should surprise me anymore. One was that ridiculously bad dunk that Uncle Jeff, I think he had a shock face because he was like, oh, did he get nutmegged? Oh, no, he dunked it. And the second one was Blake Griffin on the ground after a foul call who shot the ball and it went in. Like, yes. Why? What?
Why does it even matter?
Why does that even matter? Of course the Mr. Satan Award should be Blake Griffin. Look, Joe, there are people that read the book. Then there are people that read the Cliff Notes. Blake Griffin is like the people that secondhand hear about the book from the guy who read the Cliff Notes 5 minutes before class and has to explain it in front of the class. Does it poorly, but yet somehow the teacher's like nodding their head in approval.
Yeah, good job. You really read that book.
What? Are people really falling for this?
Meanwhile, like the other kids in Kyrie class? Kyrie over here read the book. Met the author, got an interview, wrote a dissertation, is sharing it with the class, and the teacher's like, I don't care about you.
Yeah. What?
Get out of here. You need to be more like Blake.
How many Kyrie highlights do you see? None. But you show Blake Griffin after a foul on the ground, shooting a ball into a hoop? That's not even interesting when I see my friend do it. On the court.
Guys, I don't know if you've seen anything Kyrie has done this year because they don't post it. Like, you have to search it out. You know what I mean? Like,
it's out there.
It doesn't just appear in your feed. Yeah, it just doesn't pop up. So go search, guys. Just do some Kyrie highlights from this year. Literally everything he does is a highlight. Like, every time he touches the ball, it's a highlight.
It's smooth.
It's just amazing. It's true artistry. Like, you know, the roll your eyes at Kyrie because when he talks about that stuff. But dang, he's freaking an artist. Like, truly, when he's out there. It's so beautiful. No love, though. I mean, no highlights. Love.
But
nothing
Blake.
From the media.
But a lot of Blake. Like, yeah, Blake, you're awesome.
He's the guy who made it a super team. He's probably the third guy. Kyrie's the fourth guy.
All right, moving on. We got the Eisen Award. The intentionally trying to trick everyone award. And we had three nominees for everything, but this one, there's only two. One, we got LeBron Sema. Mr. My ankle is not 100%. I'll never be 100% again.
I'll never be 100% again.
Mr. Steph should be the MVP. We're playing Steph, the MVP. I don't know, man. Mr. People are sleeping on me because I score a lot. You know, I was a pass first.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what is going on here? That's LeBron. And the other guy, LaMelo Ball. And I'm not even sure if this is his doing, but he played 51 games. He's 16-6-6-2. And people have him as Rookie of the Year. And Bleacher Report. I know that Blake highlight was ridiculous. They showed him getting a technical foul. What? Who cares?
Gosh. We got to add Blake, by the way, to the Bleacher Report. It's the LaMelo, Zion, LeBron, Blake Report. That's the report. We got to put those letters together and make a new acronym and make that what Bleacher Report is. Guys, did you know that there's a guy who's averaging 19-5-3, one steals, and he played 55 games, and he's balling out.
Is that Anthony Edwards?
It is Anthony Edwards because he should be Rookie of the Year.
Joe, all day or cray cray? All day or cray cray? The Eisen Award should go to LaMelo.
Oh, cray cray. Come on. Can't give it to LaMelo.
Oh my God.
LaMelo under the bus.
20 years running.
The Eisen Award goes to the only person who can get the Eisen Award. It is Eisen himself, LeBron Sema.
He comes up. He's like, I didn't know I would get this, even though I won it 19 years in a row.
I invented this award, and I'm the one who gives it out. I'm the only person who votes on it.
But I didn't know I would get it. Isn't it amazing?
I'm going to say something off the top of my head. Unfolded. I'm going to say something off the top of my head right now. I never expected to get this award.
Dude.
I'm so honored because people don't recognize my genjutsu. They think I'm just a taijutsu guy. Nobody thinks I have good genjutsu or ninjutsu. you know what, LeBron, whatever. It's fine. You're the greatest. Just, all right, you're just the greatest. Okay.
I'm like, what will get him to stop? Okay. I just want the Genjutsu to stop now. Just take it. Take the infinite Tsukiyomi off everybody. What do you want? All right. Last one. Last one. My favorite one. The Adel Dazeem Award. The player that just did not care at all and did his own thing, just like John Travolta did when trying to pronounce the name. He had a stroke. At the very end. He got the rest of it right. The inflections.
Wickedly talented.
That kills me every
Go
time.
Watch it, guys. The it wickedly talented. Oh,
the gosh. Only thing he got wrong was the name. Just doesn't make sense. The three nominees. I got Russell Westbrook, of course. Logan himself. 10th most field goal attempts, most triple doubles. And remember when he was like supposed to be resting back-to-backs? And you remember like he was out because of his knee? That wasn't a thing because he played 65 of 72 games and still ended four games under 500.
Wow.
Then we got a sleeper candidate, Mr. Nikola Vucevic. And you might be wondering why. Well, the two teams he played for finished 31-41 and 21-51. And also, he had the most field goal attempts in the league in 2021. More than Bradley Beal, more than Steph Curry, more than Luka Doncic, more than Dame Lillard, and more than even Julius Randle.
Wow.
This guy was hoisting it. Hoisting it. The sleeper Adel Dazeem. At number three, we got Michael Porter Jr. And you might be like, dude, Michael Porter Jr., he's playing well. And you're right, he is playing well. He scores 19 points per game. He averaged 30-plus minutes a game. He has had 70 assists on the year. That's right, 70 total assists on the year.
So fewer than there were games this year.
Fewer than there were games, but he played 61 games, so his average is higher than one.
Okay,
it's, one, it's, like 1.1. It's 1.1. And he ranks 439th in assist percentage.
Wow.
Joe, Aldair Cray-Cray, Russell Westbrook should win the Adel Dazeem Award.
Dude, you know, as you were going, you know, when you when it was Westbrook and you were reading it, I was like, oh, obviously Westbrook. And then you said Vucevic, and I was like, oh, dang, what the heck? And then you said MPJ's thing, and I was like, dang.
Good contenders, right? This is a hotly contested award today.
Yeah, I got increasingly convinced by each person. And so actually, I'm going to go Cray-Cray. It's MPJ. Because at least Westbrook be passing. Like, at least he passes
it's
the
true.
Ball. He gets a
it's
lot
true.
Of assists.
It's true.
I mean, I know
the
at the end of
the
games,
field goal attempts are a function of what he does.
Yeah.
He also gets assists. He also gets rebounds.
He's got high usage, but... there's another guy on his team who almost led the league in scoring, so it can't be.
That's true.
I mean, they're number one in pace. They create a lot of possessions. That's a function of what Westbrook does. MPJ's out. Look, I've seen MPJ play, okay? I've seen some Denver. This fool does not pass. He does not pass. He freaking jacks up every shot. I mean, Vooch, at least, he got to be averaging at least like five assists. MPJ, 1.1 assists. Nah, man. Nah. You can't do that. You can't do that, dude. You can't be 30 minutes a game playing 61 games and only get 70 assists. That's the person you hate to play with on the basketball court. So I have to give it to MPJ.
For reference, J.R. Smith, historical chucker, averages a career 2.1 assists per game.
You can't have less than two assists, man. I mean, unless you really are just like assist challenge, but MPJ's not. He can play make. Like, he can pass the ball. Nah, man. This guy's just selfish, dude. He just doesn't want to pass.
We've talked about historical chucker, Mr. Jordan Clarkson. He averaged 2.5 assists this year. How do you not average 2 assists a year? And 30 minutes a game. It doesn't make any sense.
He's probably touching the ball second. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not touching necessarily, but creating.
Yes. Like, you could... there's so many accidental assists. There's so many, like, hockey assists. Like, you get the ball and you pass it to the next open guy. He shoots. Just normal. It's not even, like, you're playmaking, right? I get if you're not a playmaker. But, like, anybody could get two assists if you're playing 30 minutes a game. Like, just honestly.
If you're the guy with... you just can't do that. When you have the ball... you can't do that 90% of the time. You got to pass it more.
Let me tell you something. A famous Laker who was only on the team to make clutch threes, Mr. Robert Horry.
Mm.
On the Lakers, he averaged 2.2 assists a game.
That's crazy.
He doesn't dribble.
Robert Horry averaged two... think about that, guys. Robert freaking Horry. I don't remember Robert Horry dribbling ever. I can't. I watched all the Laker games. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Robert Horry dribbling, like period. I can't pull up an image in my brain. I have him shooting a bunch of shots. I have him shooting. I have him rebounding. I have him getting blocks. I can't remember him dribbling. I have him passing though in my brain. So yes.
Here's the kicker. The 98-99 season, when he averaged less than 20 minutes a game, 1.5 assists per game, which is more than Michael Porter Jr.
In 30-plus minutes. Yeah, no, I give it to MPJ.
As I was doing research for this, I was like, who could it be? And I came across all these things. I was like, okay, it's Michael Porter Jr. He's on a team with Jokic, who instills a culture of passing. he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to shoot it. It's like, what? And I've texted you this many times. I was like, this dude has irrational confidence in his jump shot. He shoots things he should not be shooting.
And his jumper is not pretty.
But it goes in. I'm like surprised at how often it goes in.
I didn't say it was bad. He's got a decent jumper, but I don't like how it looks though.
No. But I'm surprised how often it goes in, but you got to get more than 70 assists in a year. You just do if you're playing 30 plus minutes. It's like you have to intentionally not pass to do that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th. He's 11th in assists on his team. He's 11th in assists on his team. On his freaking team, man. He's third in minutes, and that includes Jamal Murray, who's hurt a lot. And then he's 11th in assists.
So if you took out Jamal Murray, who's hurt for this basically the season, he's second and 11th in assists.
He's second in minutes, 11th in assists, 10th in assists. That's so bad, dude. 8.3, 4.8, 3.6, 3.2, 3.2, 2.6, 2.2, 1.8, 1.8, 1.7, and then him, 1.1. Come on, man. You got to pass, dude.
You got to pass, bro. It's bad. All right, that was it. What do you think? Did we get it right with our SBR awards? Are you guys excited for the play-in tournament? Keep listening. We've got to have more playoff content in the coming weeks. Awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back with next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace. ESPN actually tried to do Marvel characters to NBA players. It was
It's terrible, right? It's some bad loose analysis. Probably. That's what they always do.
Like, and like Kendrick Perkins, like he doesn't watch it, you know? Think he watched Thor Dark World? No, man.
He doesn't know Malekith. Man, get out of here. You don't know Malekith. You don't know the dark elves, man. Get out of here, bro. Try to act like you're up on nerd culture, man.
He ain't one of us.